Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the ACM Research fourth quarter 2022 earnings conference call. Currently, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. As a reminder, we are recording today's call. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Gary Dvorchak, Managing Director of the Blue Shirt Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's call to discuss fourth quarter 2022 results. We released results before the U.S. market opened today. The release is available on our website as well as from Newswire Services. There's also a supplemental slide deck posted to the investor portion of our website that we'll reference during our prepared remarks. On the call with me today are our CEO, Dr. David Wong, our CFO, Mark McKechnie, and Lisa Fong, the CFO of our operating subsidiary, ACM Shanghai. Before we continue, please turn to slide two. Let me remind you that remarks made during this call may include predictions, estimates, or other information that might be considered forward-looking. These forward-looking statements represent ACM's current judgment for the future. However, they are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. Those risks are described under risk factors and elsewhere in ACM's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Please do not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which reflect ACM's opinions only as the date of this call. ACM is not obliged to update you on any revisions to these forward-looking statements. Certain of the financial results that we provide on this call will be on a non-GAAP basis, which excludes stock-based compensation and an unrealized gain loss in trading securities. For our GAAP results and reconciliations between GAAP and non-GAAP amounts, you should refer to our earnings release, which is posted on the IR section of our website, and refer to slide 12. With that, let me now turn the call over to David Wong, who will begin with slide three. David?
Thanks, Gary. Hello, everyone, and welcome to ACM Research fourth quarter and fiscal year 2022 earnings conference call. Starting with the fourth quarter results, revenue was $108.5 million, compared to $95.1 million last year. Shipments were record $193 million, upper 69% year over year. Gross margin was 49.6%, and non-GAAP operating margin was 17.7%. As anticipated, as a result of U.S. export restriction, several customers reduced production at their advanced nodes facility. We also experienced some delay from our supplier due to supply chain constraints. Despite the impact to our fourth quarter revenue, we are pleased with our result. For the full year, 2022 marked another year of progress on our mission to become a major supplier to the global semiconductor industry. We delivered 50% year-over-year top-line growth during the COVID-19-related restriction, supply chain disruption, and increased trade regulations. This result demonstrates we're driven in part by our multi-product portfolio strategy. Turn to slide four. We are focused on deepening our position in cleaning, our core product segment. In 2022, our cleaning product grew by 44% to $272.9 million, driven by our single wafer cleaning tools and continual penetration of a semi-critical auto bench tools. We expect the auto bench to play a key role for mature nodes development in China and going forward. We instilled several important new cleaning tools, including bevel etch tool, high temperature SPM single wafer cleaning tool, and the high temperature IPA dry tool, and the supercritical CO2 dry tool for DRAM, which is important for our international efforts. ACM now has one of the broadest cleaning product portfolio in the industry, covering nearly 90% of all cleaning process steps. The ECP and the furnace and other technologies, revenue more than doubled year over year to $77.5 million and represent 20% of our revenue mix. This was driven by significant contribution from our ECP planning tools, with increased penetration at our top customer for both ECP map for front end and ECP AP for the back end. We expect a strong product cycle in 2023 from our furnace products, our higher temperature anneal and LPCVD furnace, including silicon nitride and poly/dipoly, have expanded to multiple customers. We expanded our furnace platform with the introduction of our thermal atomic layer deposition, ALD, Ultra FNA furnace tool. We delivered the first ALD tool to a customer in September and second one to another customer in November 2022. Advanced package, not including ECP, service and spell and other process tool grow slightly year-over-year. This segment includes a range of packaging tools, including coater, developer, scrubber, PR stripper, and wet etcher, and also service and spare parts. ACM is only company that offers both a full set of wet tool and advanced plating tool. We believe advanced packaging will become more important as industrial looks for packaging innovation such as 2.5D and 3D in the proposal and fan-out to drive the higher performance, particularly in China. In Q4, we added two major product categories, Ultra Litho Track Coater Developer Tool and Ultra PMax PECVD tool. We estimate these two new tools double our serviceable available market, or SAM, to $16 billion. This major new category reinforce ACM's position as a multi-product platform company. Our Ultra Litho Track Coater Developer Tool is a natural evolution of our expertise in cleaning, coating, and developer system, which we have built over the past decade. With our core competence in software and robotics, combined with our proven standalone coater developer tool performance, we are well positioned to competing in the $3.7 billion track market. We believe many global logic memory manufacturer are seeking a second track supply source. Our proprietary architecture design enables Ultra Litho Track to process 400 or even more wafers per hour, which is required for the next generation of litho tool, specifically designed for memory manufacturer customer. The tool has multiple feature that enhance performance across defectivity, throughput, and cost of ownership. We delivered the first Ultra Litho Track Coater Developer ARF tool to a domestic Chinese customer in the fourth quarter 2022, and plan to deliver i9 model later this year. We have also begun development of a KrF model. Our Ultra PMax PECVD tool marks ACM's entry into a new process area for front-end semiconductor manufacturing. We believe our proprietary design provides better film uniformity, reduced film stress, and improved particle performance. We target this product for global logic and memory manufacturing. We expect a good traction for 28 nano and above logic customer, which we view as a major expansion opportunity in China. We believe this is aligned with China's focus on adding manufacturing nodes capacity, adding mature nodes capacity to match domestic consumption. We expect to deliver our first PECVD tool to IC manufacturer soon. We also expect our Ultra PMax PECVD tool to be used in critical process for memory fabrication. We look to those two new product category to provide another leg of growth to ACM in 2024 and beyond. ACM tools are used by nearly all of the Chinese-based semiconductor manufacturers. Our sales and service team are constantly working to gain better traction with each of our customers across each of our major product lines. Our 2022 results demonstrated impressive growth for our core cleaning tools, and a good product cycle in ECP. We expect a similar product cycle for furnace in 2023 and a long-term contribution from track and PECVD. I will now provide a detail in our 2022 customers. Turn to slide 5. For 2022, we had 3 10% customers. The Huagong Group remained our top customer at 18% of sales. SMIC was the second largest at 15%, and YMTC was our third at 10%. CXMT and SK hynix also contribute, but were less than 10% and 5% respectively. We had a stronger contribution from second and third tier semiconductor manufacturer, including power, analog, CMOS image sensor, compound semiconductor, and other devices. Although none of them individually was a 10% customer, this customer group represent about total 20% of our full year sales. For 2023, we expect a growth from our China-based customer with a share gain in our core cleaning tool and ECP and the furnace product cycle. We also anticipate initial sale to the U.S. and European market. We have two cleaning tool at a U.S. facility of a large U.S.-based manufacturer. The evaluation is going well, and we are optimistic it will lead to additional order from them in 2023. Today, we announced an order for our first evaluation tool to a top-tier European customer. The tool is planned for delivery in early Q4 this year, and we are beginning to hire a service team to support it. We are optimistic this could lead to repeat orders of this product, orders for our other products, and open the door for other potential major customers in the region. Next, I want to detail our planned investment in new facility. Please turn to slide 6. Construction of a Lingang production R&D center is nearly complete and remain on track for initial production in the second half of this year. Our Lingang campus will including 1 million sq ft and including 2 R&D building, 2 factory building, and 1 auxiliary factory. The auxiliary factory will be equipped with a clean room R&D lab of the same grade as our customer IC production line to speed up R&D and product process verification. Upon completion, the Lingang campus is expected to have an annual revenue production capacity over $1.5 billion. We are moving forward with the purchase of a new full-owned headquarters for ACM Shanghai in Zhangjiang area, Shanghai, the Silicon Valley of China. We paid about $47 million for their building in the fourth quarter of moving later this year. This is important addition for ACM that will provide stability for employees, help us attract new talent, and allow us to invest in world-class R&D center to speed up the development of our tools. Support our international expansion, we have increased our investment in Korea. This will serve as a second source of production capacity for business of continuity and will provide additional access to a greater pool of R&D talent. We already have a team of about 70 local R&D engineer who have co-developed our furnace, track, and PECVD product with our Shanghai R&D team. This facility will be in the proximity of several major semiconductor manufacturers, which we believe will help achieve greater traction. For 2023, we expect to spend about $80 million-$20 million CapEx. Our main project, including Lingang facility, capacity add in Korea, and new ACM Shanghai headquarters following this important investment. Our major spending project will be complete for the next several years. We remain committed to our $1 billion revenue target. Please turn to slide 8. We remain bullish on the domestic China semiconductor market. We expect our China customers to continue to add or even speed up capacity as in mature nodes, as made in China capacity is much lower than the local market consumption. Domestic demand for semiconductor will follow increased production of electrical vehicle and consumer electronics. The majority of our customer demand has been for mature nodes production site, including 20 nano and above logic devices, power devices, and IoT. And we anticipate good growth for years to come. We believe we can achieve our $1 billion revenue target in the near future from mainland China alone. Our model is based on 55% market share in cleaning, 50% in ECP, 35% in furnace, and 15% each for track and PCVD. You see upside potential from international markets. We are making good progress with Korea, US, and European customers, and expanding our global sales and supporting teams. We're also accelerating our R&D and production facility in Korea to be close to several major semiconductor players and provide a second site for supporting worldwide customers. I will now provide our outlook for the full year 2023. Please turn to slide 9. We are reaffirm our 2023 revenue outlook to be in a range of 515 to 585 million. The range of our outlook reflects, among other things, the potential impact from current U.S.-China trade policy and together with the various expected spending scenario of key customer, supply chain constraint, and the timing of acceptance for first tool on the evaluation in the field, among other factors. In conclusion, we are proud of the progress we have made in 2022 and excited for the opportunity that the line had in 2023. We remain committed to our mission to become a supplier to major global semiconductor manufacturers and to deliver innovative solutions to our customers. Now let me turn the call over to our CFO, Mark, who will reveal detail our fourth quarter results. Mark, please.
Thank you, David. Good day, everyone. Please turn to slide 11. Unless I note otherwise, I'll refer to non-GAAP financial measures, which exclude stock-based compensation, unrealized loss on trading securities. Reconciliation of these non-GAAP measures to comparable GAAP measures is included in our earnings release. I'll now provide financial highlights for the fourth quarter. Revenue was $108.5 million versus $95 million last year. Total shipments were $197 million versus $117 million shipped in the year-ago period. Revenue for single wafer cleaning tools and semi-critical cleaning was $74.6 million versus $61.9 million. Revenue for ECP furnace and other technologies was $20.2 million versus $19.5 million. Revenue for advanced packaging, excluding ECP services and spares, was $13.7 million, approximately flat versus last year. Gross margin was 49.7%, up from 47.9% in the prior year. This exceeded our normal expected range of 40 to 45%. The increased gross margin versus the prior year period was primarily due to product mix and a positive impact due to the change in the renminbi to U.S. dollar currency rate. We expect gross margin to continue to vary from period to period due to the variety of factors such as sales volume, product mix, and currency impacts. Operating expenses were $34.8 million versus $25.1 million. We incurred higher R&D costs due primarily to increased personnel. Sales and marketing expense was higher due to promotional tools and personnel costs. Operating income was $19.2 million, representing 17.7% operating margin versus $20.4 million. Other expense net was $6.6 million. This was due primarily to the impact of the exchange rate changes on our payables and receivables for the period. Income tax expense was $2.7 million compared to $3.2 million in the year-ago period. The effective tax rate for the full year 2022 has increased primarily due to the requirement for tax purposes to capitalize and amortize previously deductible research and experimental expenses under IRS Code 174. That was effective January 1st, 2022. The company's tax provision assumes the rule will not be overturned and is based on capitalization of all the R&D expenses for tax purposes. Net income attributable to ACM Research was $12.6 million versus net income of $18.1 million in the year-ago period. Net income per diluted share was 19 cents compared to net income per diluted share of 27 cents in Q4 2021. I will now review selected balance sheet items. Cash and cash equivalents, restricted cash, and time deposits were $420.9 million at the end of the fourth quarter versus $473.2 million at the end of the third quarter. Total inventory was $393.2 million at year-end, up from $327.8 million at the end of last quarter. This included finished goods inventory of $146.9 million, work in process of $79.1 million, raw materials of $167.1 million. Net cash flow from operations was $1.3 million for the fourth quarter. Net cash flow used in operations was $62.2 million for the full year. Capital expenditures for Q4 was $72.6 million, which included a $47.2 million payment for our new headquarters building in Zhangjiang and spending on our Lingang factory and other items. Capital expenditures for the full year was $91 million. That concludes our prepared remarks. Let us open the call for any questions that you may have. Operator, please go ahead.
Thank you. To ask a question, please press star 11 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. To withdraw your question, please press star 11 again. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. We have a question from Mark Miller with Benchmark Company. Your line is open.
Congrats on another strong year in outlook. I had a question about the regional distribution of sales. Looks like China was down 20% sequentially. How much of that was due to the restrictions in China? I'm just wondering what produced that 20% decline in sequential decline in China sales.
Yeah, Mark, and I think it's real hard to give you a precise number. And obviously, there's a reduced investment in advanced nodes, and that percentage, how much contribution, I don't have a number right now. However, I should say there also we say there are still strong demand in the mature nodes, right? So that's the way we think this year our revenue continue to grow. Of course, also plus our new product, deployment, especially ECP and the furnace.
In terms of other regions, that showed a nice uptick over prior quarter and year over year. Can you describe, is that coming from the U.S. or Taiwan, or I'm just wondering where the other region increase in revenues is coming from?
Actually, we're expecting some revenue this year will come from outside mainland China, right? And some revenue we expect from Korea and also some from U.S. And also expecting, probably not real revenue from TSM, from their, Taiwan, but they're actually expecting customer, right? Probably breakthrough in Taiwan this year, but not revenue.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Mark.
One moment for our next question. Our next question comes from Quinn Bolton with Needham & Company. Your line is open.
Oh, sorry about that. I was on mute. Hey, guys, congratulations on the strong 2022 results and the very strong 23 outlook and the tough WFE environment this year. I guess, a few questions. One for David or Mark. Can you just give us some sense, at the 23 guidance of 515 to 585. Do you expect any, meaningful contribution from advanced nodes in China, or have you effectively zeroed out the advanced memory and logic nodes in that guidance?
Yeah, let me give you a first shot. And I think we still see some, probably still purchase going on, but obviously, quite a reduce, right, compared to last year. And so that's not that much counting in our projection, for our this year's, I call it a projection. And however, we do see, and also there's some speed up and for the customer, and even some new customer, right, in China for mature nodes. and also for their power devices. So that's we see their our revenue growth and from those customers, right? And plus, as I mentioned, and also other products spread out, right? ECP continue gain market share, and the furnace this year we think we're gain more rapidly with the market share too. So that's the primary factor, right? Next one is also including some international contribution sales from outside mainland China.
I wanted to also ask just on the shipments, a very impressive number of $197 million in the fourth quarter. I know you don't guide to shipments on a go-forward basis, but can you just talk about, was there anything special going on in the December? Were the, was there any business sort of, either pulled out of the September quarter or perhaps pulled in from March? You talked in the prepared script about some supply constraints. Hard to see the impact of supply constraints when you're at nearly $200 million of shipments a quarter. So just trying to get some sense on, what's your outlook for shipments, perhaps qualitatively, since I know you don't give guidance for that number.
You mean the future or talk about last quarter?
Maybe David just talk about the strength in shipments in sure. The fourth quarter. Was there anything unusual that led to such a strong number? And then any comments you might be willing to make about, how you expect shipments to trend over the next few quarters?
I see. Well, actually, last four quarter shipments is also impacted by constraint, right? If we have no spell, supply chain concern, maybe ship more. That's obviously there. And plus this, I call trade restriction also limit that shipment too. So anyway, I think next few quarter, we still can see that they're continue, I'm not saying next quarter higher than the fourth quarter, right? But I should say next year and this year, we'll see that continue increase our shipment, right?
Excellent. And then for you, Mark, obviously gross margin near 50%, well above your target range of 40 to 45. How much of the strength in the fourth quarter was due to that higher shipment level? I assume you're getting pretty good factory utilization at that kind of shipment level. Was that a big driver to gross margin, or is it really more just a function of the mix of tools that you shipped in December that led to that near 50% margin?
Yeah, Quinn, it's going to be predominantly about the mix of products. The absorption helps a bit, but it's not a big portion. It's really about the mix. And I said in the prepared remarks, we also had some benefit from the currency rates, but it's mainly about mix, Quinn.
Can you quantify the FX impact, Mark? I mean, my guess is your mix with furnace and ECP driving a lot of the growth in 23. It sounds like your mix is going to stay pretty healthy in 23.
We're not changing our 40 to 45% gross margin, target, Quinn. We're it's a competitive industry in general, and we certainly want to work well with our customers, but 40 to 45% is the right target longer term.
Understood. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we have a question from Christian Schwab with Craig-Hallum. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. Congratulations on strong execution and guidance. David, you're not alone in seeing tremendous strength out of the Chinese domestic market. Applied Materials and their ICAPS business, spent half the call talking about it. So would you look at China and your commentary about adding, mature nodes at 28 nanometer IoT power sensors, probably a smaller market, but and saying that it does not, the capacity within China does not meet domestic demand, I think is the way you worded it. How many years of strong capital equipment spending do you think it would take for that to occur? Is that like a 3 to 4, 5, 6 year adventure? You know, how long do you think that would take?
Okay, good question. I should say still, I just mentioned, you know, all electric vehicle, other consumer electronics, right? There's a lot of consumption rate in China for the 28 nanometer chips. And I look at customer, or a new customer expansion plan. I would say probably this trend will continue to go another at least 3 years, right? And I see there probably 3 year timeline. It really depends on their real situation, but we see that trend going up.
Great. And we've also heard from, you know, some different companies who sell into domestic China market that there seems to be a reinvigorated effort to buy from domestic Chinese suppliers versus international providers into the capital equipment marketplace if there is good and competitive markets and products available, which of course you have. So do you see your growth potential potentially benefiting from that over the next 3 years as well?
Actually, I think for mature nodes, it's pretty same, right? This moment, you know, that there are other restriction, regulatory, not a limit to mature nodes, right? So I see that it's still everybody can sell. So we're not a specific say they have to, you know, buy domestic, whatever, you know, we're doing. However, because of the last 2 years, 3 years, you know, the constrained supply and traveling and the people, that's real maker, our R&D team in Shanghai, real make understanding, right? We still can't go in with service customer. Maybe that will give our customer kind of an advantage of our proximity on the center, manufacturer closing. I see that is a more big impact, right? So, I mean, I would say the customer still consider the best tool pricing and also the, you know, stability of tool as a major consideration and not just, you know, have to select domestic. I think that's a real fair market. We want to also share that market with other player in domestic and also outside China. It's really, you know, finally it's really a solution gain, right? Your cost, your service, your product, you know, quality. I look at that as more major.
Perfect. And then my last question regarding, you know, initial sales to, you know, a large US company. And I think I thought I heard you say you thought you would get acceptance of those two tools and additional orders from that customer this year. Did I hear that correct?
Yeah, I think we're you qualify that tool, and hopefully, you know, they're continuing expansion plan, and we got a repeat order, right? That's what we're expecting.
Great. And is that, you know, with that customer, is that, as you know, on some complex, you know, stuff like gate all around or something like that, or is there a technology shift where it's opening up an opportunity for your products with that customer that maybe didn't exist before?
Well, Green, I really cannot talk too much about that, right? We do have NDA. You know, we even cannot talk, you know, is a customer, is a logic or a memory, cannot talk either. So I really cannot comment your question. Sorry.
Okay, that's fair. And then I think in a conference call or two ago, you mentioned, and this is my last question, that you would expect sales, you know, or shipments, I should say, outside of domestic China in calendar 23, a target of about 10% of those shipments, you know, outside of that market. Is that still the number we should be thinking about, or did I remember?
Yeah, I should say probably 5 to 10. It's really hard to give you that fixed number now. Maybe by end of this year, I'll give you more detail. But that's,
okay,
you know, target right now, 5 to 10. That's our goal.
All right. Sounds perfect. Great. No other questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christian.
Our next question comes from Chaolin Singh with Credit Suisse. Your line is open.
Okay, this is Chaolin. Thank you, Gabby and Mark. I have my first question is is that the revenue by region, is that based on ship to location or the customer headquarter region?
And we'll say that is based on the, it's not by actually quarter. We'll talk about the, you know, delivery to China territory, right? Final location, we'll talk about.
Okay, so that's more like ship to the location of the Fed.
Let me clear that. And well, let's say Hynix exclusion, let's make sure. Hynix, we don't have that sales actually to the China location, but consider as a, you know, for the Hynix, right? Hynix has both staff in China, also in Korea. So, did I answer your question?
Yes. So actually my next question is also relating to this important customer. So I'm curious that, so how much capacity, manufacturing capacity, are we preparing for this and any other international customers by end of this year or next year?
Okay.
In Korea, the production capacity in Korea, because I'm just thinking that if any, yes.
Okay, I think there, let me clear, Korean capacity or expansion, and we're going to, well, doing from now on, right? As I said, you know, we're expanding investment, including increased capacity. And that capacity at the moment, we can say some of them is still using for China market, because, you know, we have a co-development tool between Korea and Shanghai. And also that capacity also will be prepared for a secondary manufacturing center and to supply customer outside China, right? So that's a two function in there in Korea. I make sure I answer your question. Is that answer your question, Charlie?
Yes. Because I'm just thinking that with the U.S. CHIP Act, if any of our potential, I mean, U.S. or non-U.S. Fed customers going to expand in U.S., would they have to only purchase any, I mean, clean furnace or ECP from our Korean production site instead of from our Shanghai production site in the next few years?
Well, obviously, every customer needs, you know, they call it business continuity, right? Because even natural disaster. So always asking two site, even three site manufacturing. So, you know, you're asking customers, they prefer at least two location. And something happened, they still have a second source, can continue, you know, providing the tool. So that's exactly what design here, as I call the business continuity, and to really, you know, make sure we can supply to all the customer in the world.
Okay, thank you. And next question, I'm not sure if I missed this earlier. Would you might give us an idea on the R&D ratio into 2023 after the major increase last year?
And let Mark answer a question. He know more money. I don't know much money. He's better.
Yeah, Charlie. And so in 2022, if you go through the numbers, the non-GAAP basis, it was about 15.3% up from 12.7 in 2021. You know, we think that's about the level we'd expect in 2023. You're on the, you know, 15% or so.
Okay, understand. Thank you. And maybe my very last question is that I know previously some other analysts also asked about the very exciting revenue growth in 2023. And David discussed earlier that a portion of that will come from the tier 2-3 fab customers in China. So I'm still quite curious here because or if you look at the fab customer in China, tier 2, tier 3 fabs, how would you comment on your market share with these tier 2, 3 fabs in China last year versus the market share outlook for this year?
Yeah, actually, you look at the number, we just, you know, see there are in the script, and it's about 20% represented right now in last year, right? And I continue to see that number will continue to increase. And because I, you know, we see their new customer come out and also some second tier and third tier customers start, you know, some expansion too. So it's a, we see that group occupation will increase. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And another question, more on the revenue recognition side is that for the kind of advanced node restricted by the U.S. regulation, the U.S. October 7 regulation, for any tools, either the repeated tools or the new tools that we ship to any of these fab customers, are all those related revenues already all booked in the fourth quarter?
Let me say this way. Well, and there's obviously in the fourth quarter, there's some revenue coming from there, right? And there, you know, I'm also expecting still some revenue contribution and even this year too. And obviously, you know, we'll follow, you know, strictly for the U.S. you know, trade regulation, and which is, you know, no U.S. parts and no U.S. technology involved, right? That's our baseline there. But I still see some going on, but obviously has been reduced, you know, as compared last year.
Okay, understand. Thank you, David.
One moment for our next question. We have a question from Suji DeSalva from Roth. Your line is open.
Hi, David. Hi, Mark. Congrats on the progress here. Expecting growth from some of the newer products to show up materially in 23 here. What is maybe the competitive landscape on the some of the newer product, the furnace and the CMAP? How is that different from the traditional SAPS TBO product?
Yeah. Okay. Let's put it this way. So we're growing. I think this year we're still continuously our new product in cleaning, right? I just mentioned in the script, we do have a bevel etcher and also new drying technology, including supercritical CO2. And also we see the opportunity, you know, for even the single wafer SPM. So it's still a lot of expansion of our cleaning product, which is a cover almost 90% of cleaning process step. Right. Also, we see some of this differential technology when introduced to the international customer, right? Korea and the U.S., Europe. And more than that is also we have the copper plating and furnace, right? And copper plating gained a lot of market share last year. We continue to see that trend continues going on. Also, we're expecting our copper plating will get into the market, you know, in Korea and in Taiwan, even beyond, right, Europe. And another one is the furnace product, and we do have, you know, high temperature anneal, oxidation, vacuum anneal, LPCVD, including nitride, poly, depoly. It's quite, has been expanded multiple customers in China. And also last year, we did also introduce, right, this two new ARD furnace product to the market. And with also proprietary design of our ARD furnace, we see that there also penetration to the, you know, market in China, also in the outside China, right? So we'll see that V3 product will be driving continuously our growth and, you know, for 2023. And then, you know, that's the so far we say. But then also our two new digital product, you know, TCVD and the track will take time. We need almost a year to evaluate at the customer side, maybe also put in multiple customer side. And then that revenue contribution will be probably to 2024 and beyond.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David. And then with the growth in China from the shipments, can you distinguish what's happening in China in the foundry logic market versus the memory market to understand the different dynamics there in support of your 23 forecast?
Okay. Let's this way. I still say we're seeing, you know, mature nodes grow. Obviously, mostly it's in there, you know, in the logic and the power device, analog, you know, maybe some of the third, you know, compound semiconductor, right? So we see that there that a trend, that total ratio will increase in China. And I still say our memory, I still see some grow, but the, you know, relative ratio wise, probably not grow faster as, you know, as this is mature nodes and market, right? I think last year we are about the market 15%, right? Come from memory, close. Maybe more, maybe more than 15% come from memory market. This year, I should say, probably might be not a range, but maybe a little bit slightly lower. That's what we're looking right now. Hey, Mark, anything you want to add on that?
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd add anything to that, David. I think you covered it well. Yep.
Okay, great. That's really helpful color, David. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Suji. Yep.
Thank you. I'm showing no further questions in the queue. I'd like to turn the call back to Mr. David Wang for closing remarks.
Okay, crushing so fast. Just give me one second. Let me get there. Okay. Thank you, operator, and thank you all for participating on today's call and for your support. Before we close, Gary is going to mention our upcoming investor relations events. Gary, please.
Hey, David. Thank you. On March 14th, we're gonna present at the 35th Annual Roth Conference in Dana Point, California. Attendance of the conference is by invitation only for clients of Roth. If you're an interested investor, contact your Roth representative to register for the conference and request a one-on-one. This concludes the call, so you may all now disconnect.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.